Hey there, everyone. This is Jason Hensley with the Magnify Him Together podcast. And what we're going to be looking at today is the idea of mercy and judgment. You may have heard people talk about mercy and judgment, and a lot of times when we discuss them, we're thinking about God and God's character, and we kind of like to assert this idea that God's character brings together the elements of mercy and judgment and presents this perfectly balanced picture of mercy and judgment, almost kind of staving off each other so that there's not too much mercy and not too much judgment. And well, I do think it's certainly true to say that God is balanced and that God finds the perfect balance in all things. Perhaps sometimes the idea of balance here with mercy and judgment kind of can lead us in the wrong direction. Now, the reason that I say that is it can lend us to get this idea that we have to be a little bit merciful and a little bit judgmental. That as though we have to have the same amount of mercy as we have judgment. And because of that, because we might have this picture of balance in our minds here, we tend to lean a little too far towards the judgment side. Let me explain what I mean by that. When we look at the way that Scripture describes God's character, it definitely describes Him as a God who's full of mercy and judgment, but those two things are not necessarily balanced with one another. Just listen to this. This is in James chapter 2. James says in verse 13, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." So, I mean, to me, that's pretty clear that when our God is looking at mercy and looking at judgment, mercy comes out the winner. It isn't this, you know, perfect balance between, well, we have to have this amount of mercy and the same amount of judgment, and those two things can counteract each other. No, in fact, it's that, yes, you do have to have judgment, but you have to have mercy that triumphs over this judgment. God wants to look at His people. He wants to look at us, and He doesn't want to say, well, those people are balanced with mercy and judgment. He wants to be able to say, those people are full of mercy. Yes, they've upheld my principles, and that's the judgment side, but they're full of mercy, and they love mercy. And that's a crucial piece of who we are. Now, I really think that this comes out in a few of the places that we sometimes go to look at this balance of God's character. So we're just going to, it's kind of funny, we're going to work kind of backwards through the Bible. So we started at James chapter 2, now we're going to go to Psalm 85. So when you get to Psalm 85, it's one of those famous verses that refers to mercy and truth. So here it is, it's Psalm 85, and it says there in Psalm 85, verse 10, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." And so you get this idea of mercy and truth being met together, and sometimes I think we read this, and this is where this idea of balance comes, right? We say, oh, mercy and truth, you know, they're just wonderfully wound together, woven together in who our God is. And I think that's true. However, I mean, it's got to be true, right? It's there in Psalm 85. However, I think we kind of make a mistake because a lot of times when we use this word truth, we think of, well, that's the truth, that's firm, that's immovable, and it brings out this idea of judgment sometimes in our minds. And yet, that's not what Psalm 85 is saying. It can't be what Psalm 85 is saying. The reason is, that word there for truth in the Hebrew is your word emet. It's the word that means faithfulness. So, loyalty. Right, that's more what Psalm 85 is bringing out. It's not trying to say, you know, mercy and judgment are perfectly balanced here. It's trying to say God is full of mercy and faithfulness. You know, these are two things that are the same. They don't balance each other out. Mercy and faithfulness aid one another in God's compassion towards us. And so then it goes on to say the same kind of thing. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Right, this is God's goodness coming to work with His people. It's not one thing balancing out the other. This is an overwhelming amount of compassion and love for His people. We can't miss that. Now, I said we're working backwards. Let's just go to Exodus 34. This is the last place we're going to go, but I think that this is absolutely crucial. And again, this is where looking a little bit into the Hebrew really brings out what we're seeing here. In Exodus 34, this is God's declaration of his character. We're pretty familiar with it. It says here, "The Lord passed before him." This is verse 6. And the him is Moses. "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Right, so we're familiar with how God describes himself. But he goes on, and this is a very crucial piece. It says, "Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Now, if you were to just read that, and I were to ask you, okay, can you look for the mercy and the judgment here? I think it'd be pretty clear. You know, you're reading through this verse about keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Well, there's the mercy, right? And then, "but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Well, there's the judgment. And yet, this is something that, because the translators have added a word into this verse, I think we miss really the power of what God was bringing forth to Moses. Here's the word that's added. It's right at the end. It's the word generation. That's not there in the Hebrew. I mean, if you have the King James, you'll notice it's italicized. But if you read it in the Hebrew, it's not there. Here's why that matters. Really, the translators added that word in because it's implied in the Hebrew, right? But I don't know if you noticed, there's another place in the verse where it's implied. In other words, the translators, that was good that they added generation to the end of the verse, but they should have also added it in to the beginning. And in fact, if you have a newer translation, you might even have a footnote that says generation should be added into this verse. So how this should read, right? This is what the Hebrew is implying in verse 7, is keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation. Not just to thousands, but to the thousandth generation. The idea that God is bringing out here, I think, in this verse, is that this is a contrast between his mercy and his judgment. It's not them being balanced here. This is totally unbalanced. It says, keeping steadfast love to the thousandth generation, and yet visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God wanted people to see his character and to be overwhelmed, absolutely overwhelmed, by the way that mercy triumphs over judgment. So we are supposed to be holy as God is holy. We are supposed to be the children of our Father. We're supposed to follow him. So how has mercy triumphed over judgment in your life today? When did you extend compassion to someone instead of snapping at them? When did you let go of a grudge and instead think of how you could help that person? Our God shows mercy to the thousandth generation and holds on to iniquity to the third and fourth. So do we see mercy and judgment in God? Certainly, we do. Mercy and judgment do come together. But does God have the same amount of mercy as he has judgment? Certainly not. And so in our life, do we have to uphold the truth? Of course. We have to love God's principles. We have to hold on to God's principles. We have to teach them. But do we have to love mercy? We have to love it with everything we've got in order to show it, like God, to the thousandth generation. So let's go out there today and let's make some choices that show that we believe that mercy triumphs over judgment, and that we thank God for that. I'll see you in 2 weeks on the next Magnify Him Together podcast.